Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, June 9th, 2003. Today's session is The Gospel According to Mayberry, Session 1, God's Time, presented by Barbara Malas Swanson. Let's listen in.
Okay, well, I think we'll get started. I want to thank you all for coming, and welcome to this session. My name is Barbara Malas Swanson, and I live in Fort Byron, Illinois, with my husband Wayne and our children, Daniel and Kirsten. I went to Luther College, and that was where I first learned about Holden. I had classmates that would go off and spend a semester out here and come back to college with long hair and eating vegetables. It was one of those places. But we've long held the dream of coming out here. A couple of years back, my husband and I are pastors, and one of his colleagues came out here to serve as a teacher, and we thought, oh, that'd be a great idea at some point. We serve in a joint call in a medium-small congregation that hugs the banks of the Mississippi. I also have a doctorate in church history. I did that in England and spent many happy years. I was ordained in England as in the teeny tiny little Lutheran church. That's a whole other story for a whole other session. But I do some part-time teaching for Western Illinois University, which is our regional center. We have a regional center in the Quad Cities. And I also had the privilege of teaching at Augustana College for the first time this last spring. So that was kind of a dream come true for me. When I was knew that I was able to come, and of course trying to sort out what I wanted to share with the people here, I had called up a man named Paul Olson. Does anybody know Paul Olson? I haven't actually had the privilege of meeting Paul Olson yet, although I think he's here. He's supposed to be here about this time. Anyway, he's directed the teaching staff in previous years, and I said, well, I've got three ideas, and I floated the first idea back, and he said, well, that would be good. That'd be fine. Then I had a second idea. He said, well, that's even better. And then I said, I'm kind of embarrassed about the third idea because it's not very sort of highfalutin intellectual, and I shared with him the idea of doing a Bible study looking at some old RFD episodes, and he said, that'd be perfect. Fell off my chair. So I was really stressed when I was reading through Holden material, and I saw that in the mission statement, and probably most of you have this memorized, but it says to provide healing, renewal, and refreshment of people through worship, intercession, study, and hilarity. And I thought, hilarity, that's good. Laughter can be so healing, and stories can be healing too. So I hope you'll enjoy this session, and others if you're able to join us for that. But I think laughter can be a great healer in our lives, and I hope you find it that way. So what we're going to do is, for each of these sessions, look at an old episode of Mayberry, and then do a little bit of reflection on the theme. And the theme for this, well, before I go to that, this is to kind of parallel the idea of Jesus using parables. And when you hear the word parable, what do you think about? Stories, okay. Stories, and what's the point of the stories, do you think?
Teach a lesson?
Moral. Maybe teach something about the kingdom of God. Can we throw out some parables? What kind of parables do you know?
Prodigal son.
Okay, good.
Good Samaritan.
Okay.
Lost coin.
Okay, lost coin. Okay.
The seeds on the ground.
Okay, sower in the seeds.
Sower in the seeds.
Okay. Anybody have a favorite one? Anytime you hear it.
Good Samaritan.
That's one we've all known since we were those that have had the privilege of growing up in the church. That's one we probably know for a long time. Well, I was kind of interested because I started going through the Gospel of Luke, and I had 20 parables before I knew it, so that was kind of fun. It's also interesting, in my congregation, my husband and I have done a little survey on our worship life just to get some feedback from our people. And one person said, I wish there weren't so many stories in your sermons. And I kind of sat back and thought about that a little bit, and I thought, well, we have a pretty good example of a storyteller in Jesus, who used stories all the time to illustrate things for us. So I don't know, I think I'll take that comment with a grain of salt. But some wonderful stories, and so we're hoping to look at some of these Mayberry stories and see what they can tell us about God and the world and ourselves. The one today is focused on patience, but before we get into patience too much, I just want to ask you, when you think about hope, what kinds of things come into your mind when you think of the word hope?
I was taught as a young child that if you replace the word Jesus every time you read the word hope in the Bible, it would come out the same.
Okay. I think we'll try that in a few minutes.
Every time you read the word hope, put the word Jesus in there and give you a revelation of what the term is.
Okay. Do you think is it easy to have hope?
Sometimes.
I think it's a learning process to have hope.
Okay.
You don't just like that have it. You know, you have to kind of learn to have it.
Okay.
With your different experiences in life.
Okay. I kind of see hope as a bridge that gets us from point A to point B in certain things in life. And bridges oftentimes have pillars that support them, don't they? And if you use that image, what kinds of pillars do you think help us sustain hope in times that are difficult or stressful or hard to be hopeful?
Prayer?
Okay.
Family? Trust.
Okay, trust. And what's another word for trust that starts with an F?
Faith.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like to teach my confirmation kids, don't think about faith as belief, but think of faith as trust. And what else? What else do you think? All those are good things that...
Scripture.
Love? Okay. How about patience? Think patience can help us.
It sounds like we're naming the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, can we turn to Romans chapter 8? We're going to be looking around verse 25. And maybe a couple of you could look up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And then maybe a couple of you can be challenged to find little 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. The Romans passage. Chapter 8. Let's start at verse 22. Can I ask somebody to read that?
We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
Okay. So just, I don't know how, in Barbara's presentation this morning, she mentioned that the Revelations passage she worked with was one that is used in funerals, and so is this one quite often. And I think we can probably all relate in some sense to groaning inwardly and waiting for something that we wish to happen. and again, affirmation of patience. And we're going to talk more about patience after we see the Mayberry episode. Did anybody find Hebrews 11:1? I'm going to jump around just a little bit here.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which did not appear.
Okay, good. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 2.
Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Okay, so that's kind of a reference to our reward for our hope, that if we're able to sustain our hope, that in this case, we will be rewarded for being like God, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so there's a reward for our hope. So how does this strike you? Have you ever been able to kind of relate faith, hope, and patience together? Does that strike anybody as, yeah, that's how I've always seen it, or a little bit different way of relating them together? Any thoughts? Okay. All right. Well, in this episode, this one's called A Wife for Andy. And I'm not going to say too much about it, except to say that there are people around Andy that think his life should be other than what it is. And just to kind of remind you of the different characters in the Mayberry episodes, because when I encountered this, I kind of needed to be reminded too. But there's Andy, of course, Andy Griffith, and then Barney. Who was Barney? Anybody remember?
Deputy,
sidekick. Thelma Lou?
Barney's
wife. Well, she's his wife in this one. Helen?
Andy's
okay,
girlfriend.
Andy's girlfriend, and she's a school teacher in town. Opie?
Son.
Okay. And Yolanda.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to tell who the single ladies are. So we'll get this started, and I hope you enjoy. There are some Bible verses that are interspersed within in this episode, so if you care to write those down, you can. Otherwise, just enjoy.
What's up, conversion?
Hello, I'm Billy. And I want you to know that it's not good for man to be alone. The Bible teaches that, and we know it. And we try to share that with all those that we love. Now, Andy is not married, and Barney is concerned. Barney feels and believes he needs someone to help him along life's journey. So, Barney, would you like to share a word? I sure would, Billy. Thank you for your insight. But I'm Andy's best friend. I've known him for years. He needs a wife, bless his heart. Opie needs a mother. And Andy needs someone that can cook a mean leg of lamb. Please, people, listen to this episode. Watch it. Learn from it. Hey. Thank you there, Barney. Thank you there, Billy. I tell you what, there is a lot of learning to marriage. And folks need help when it comes to marriage. But I'll tell you what, it's not the dating game. And it's just not a parade of people to pass by in front of someone to pick from. God's in this business. God is the one who made marriage and created it. He's the one who sustains it. And so I have a feeling he has a pretty good job of leading us to that right person. A lot of truths in this episode. Enjoy.
Okay,
you think what you do is your enemy. You're a sight. You better get home and let AB clean you up and fix your britches.
She ain't home. Miss Clara's sick and she went over to help out.
Oh. I better do something. Mm-hmm. Come on. I suppose you tell me how you got yourself all messed up like that. Move there.
You can put that stuff on, it stings?
Mm. Just down the septic's all. There we are.
Oh.
I ain't touched you yet.
What happens if you don't put it on? Will I die?
No, but your knee might get infected and you'd have to go to Dr. Harvey's and get a shot.
I'll keep the infected.
Andy? Back here, Barn.
Please tell me what happened.
Some of us got into a roughhouse on the playroom.
A fight?
No, just wrestling. All fun.
You don't show sure have fun the hard way, don't you? There you
are. Thanks, Father.
Go ahead. Hello? One more time. All right. I suppose you go on home and get that wash rag you hate so much to get cleaned up.
Thanks,
Mom.
Mom.
What?
You got to come to school and see my teacher.
How's that?
Miss Crump saw us all scrambling around on the playground, and she said she wanted to see the mothers of all the boys he was fighting. So, Paul, I guess you're going to have to go for me.
All right, I'll try to get over there sometime tomorrow. Young'uns.
You know what they say about a man that keeps putting off getting married. They say he starts getting irritable. Yeah, that's what they say. Especially a man that's been married once before. He knows he's going to have to take the plunge again someday, but he keeps putting it off. And the more he keeps putting it off, the more desperate he gets, and the more desperate he gets, the more irritable he gets, and the more...
Will you shut up there? You see how
it proves you're worrying me to death while I'm trying to work. That's what it proves. You want me to tell you? I'll tell you. I ain't found the woman I want to marry yet. I ain't putting it off. I miss being married. Sometimes I get to feeling downright lonesome. I miss going home to a wife. But then you see, getting married means you found the woman you want to settle down with, and I ain't found her yet. But when I do, you'll be the first to know, okay?
Do you mean to tell me that in all of Avery, there ain't one woman for you?
I didn't say that at all. She might very well be here. I just ain't found her yet. But till I do, the subject is closed, right?
Oh, close tight, buddy.
Good.
As long as I made my point with you, the subject is closed and put away.
That's fine.
You know what my point was? Yell at yourself.
get around?
Well, what's the matter with her anyway?
Well, she spilled some bacon grease behind the stove and she was afraid it would attract ants. So she tried to lift the stove and clean it up. Well, now she's walking crooked.
Well, you give her my best.
I will. Opie, one story, not to bed.
Okay, AB. Miss Claire gets ants. Tell her off to kill them. I'll bring them home and make an ant farm.
How do you walk?
Inside. Darn, I wonder what a story would be.
The hand is washing. That's my favorite.
Let him sleep it off. All right, there we are. Don't know this by heart, no. It was the very witching time of night that Ichabod, heavy-hearted and crestfallen, pursued his travel homewards along the sides of the lofty hills which rise above Tarrytown and which he had traversed so cheerily in the afternoon. Wonder who that is. Don't lose the place. Seen you a long time.
It has been some time.
So what brings you out this way?
Oh, well, I got a message saying I was to meet Thelma Lou here. Isn't she here?
No, she's not. But if she said for you to meet her out here, I expect she'll be along. Won't you come on in?
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No, I was just reading off your story.
Oh, please don't let me stop you. I'll just sit right over here. You go right ahead.
All right, you just excuse us.
Very much in time and I think about heavy arguments, that's what I'm
Along the sides of the lofty hills which rise above Tarrytown and which he had traversed so cheerily in the afternoon. Maybe that's Thelma Lou now.
Hi, Andy.
Oh, hi, Lavinia. This is a surprise. How have you been?
Fine. I'm supposed to meet Thelma Lou here.
Oh. Well, Amanda's here waiting for her, too. Won't you come in?
She is? Well, hi, Amanda. Hi, Lavinia.
How are you?
Oh, come sit down. Now, Andy, you just read your story, and we'll talk very quietly and try not to disturb you.
Excuse us. Pursued his travels homewards along the sides of the lofty hills which rise above Tarrytown and which he had traversed so cheerily in the afternoon. You're here to meet Thelma Lou. I want you to come on in. There's some others waiting for her. Ladies, if you all will excuse us, I was just reading my boy's story. You just make sorry.
How
can Thelma
Lou ask all the girls to meet her here?
I don't know. Maybe they're painting over her house and that makes a mess, and so she just invited them here. It was the very witching time of night that he saw it. Maybe we better read this story another time. They're starting to pile up now.
Okay,
Mom. Evening, ladies. If you're here to meet Thelma Lou, come right on in.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think?
What?
The girls. The prospects. See anything like?
You mean tell me you sent them
girls? In this way, you get to see them all at once. You check off what you like, and if you don't see anything you like, we send in another batch tomorrow night. Listen to them out there. Just think, one of them might be the next Mrs. Andy Taylor. Right behind that door. Don't that excite you?
Get them girls out of here.
What's wrong?
Get them girls out of here.
Well, what's the matter? They don't know why they're here. You just look them over and you say, this one's out, this one's a baby, this one's good.
Get them girls out of here.
Okay, but you're right. Now, let's see what you mean. If you see too many one time, get confused. I'm gonna run out.
Pardon? Why are you doing all this for me?
Why? You crazy guy. He's been asking such a thing. Because I'm your best friend, I want to make you happy. You get
it. All right, girls! Girls!
Now, girls, you're probably wondering why you're all asked here this evening. Well, I ask you here on behalf of Thelma Lou, who is going to speak to you on a subject of interest to you all. Now, Thelma Lou can't make it, so the meeting has been postponed. Now, I'll let you know the time and the place of the next meeting, and in the meantime, thanks a lot for this swell turnout.
What turnout? What did we turn out for?
One of these girls you like, they're all in fiction party.
There you see.
I believe you're right.
Well, if
They're great together, just great.
Our dinner won't be for a little while yet.
Well, what's the hurry? We want to talk a little while anyway, don't we? Why don't we just sit down? Come on, just have a seat. There we go.
Oh, it's just leg of lamb.
Leg of lamb? Good, good. That's my favorite dish.
Did you hear that, Miss Crump? That's Andy's favorite dish. Son of a gun, ever since I can remember, it's been his favorite dish. I bet you cook a mean leg of lamb yourself, don't you?
Goodness, no. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Oh, come on. You mean you don't know how to cook leg of lamb? Andy's favorite dish?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm a terrible cook.
You're just saying that. You're being modest.
Marty, Miss Crump's so busy teaching all day, she don't have time to fool with cooking.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that's true. But then someday when you settle down, I mean when you get married or something like that, well, you'll probably start to cook and then you'll just make a terrific leg of lamb. Andy's favorite dish.
I really doubt it.
Well, holy cats, why do you feed your husband? I mean, if you get married or something.
Well, I suppose he'll just have to settle for frozen dinners.
You're kidding.
Well, what's wrong with frozen dinners, Bob? They're good. I like them.
No, you don't. You'll be home all day while then you have lots of time.
Oh, but I won't be home all day. I'll still be teaching, I hope.
You mean you're not going to give up your job when you get married?
Well, I hope not. I enjoy teaching.
Women don't do that anymore, Barn. This is the 20th century.
I know it's interesting. Do you think we'd better start getting that dinner on?
I don't think it's ready yet, Barney.
Well, let's just check on that. Excuse us. Well, the sooner we get this over with, the better.
Barney, why?
Because I made a mistake, that's why. This ain't it for Andy. Now we cross her off our list.
But why?
Because she can't cook, she can't do nothing.
Barney.
Now she's out. O-U-T out. Now get the dinner out.
But I don't think it's ready yet.
Ready or not, let's get her over with and get on with the next one.
Girls, you want to quiet down.
you're probably all wondering why you last year this evening. Well, I don't have any idea. But Deputy Fife, who called you, might. Tell him, Martin.
What is it, Barney?
Yes, it's the seventh time.
Mason, you should take it.
Have you girls ever thought of starting a softball team?
Too much in your personal affairs.
Oh, no.
Please. No, I didn't meddle too much in your personal affairs. And the time's come for me to stop it. After all, you're a grown man and certainly don't need the likes of me to advise you or to guide you or tell you who to go with or who not to go with. And it's your life and yours to do whatever you please with. Whoever you want to marry, that's your own business, and I just ain't gonna interfere. That's all I had to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Barnes, and I'm glad you feel that way, because I've got something I want to tell you, too. I've decided I'm going to court Miss Crump.
Miss Crump? Are you kidding, Andy? Well, she can't even cook a leg of lettuce. She said her dog is a terrible cook.
Now, if that little episode didn't bless you, you ought to just rededicate your life. Thelma Lou loved it. Bless your little heart. Stay tuned with us next time. Right, Swanee?
That's right, Barn. Hope you enjoy. See you next time.
That brings back some memories. Have any of you seen that episode? Or remembered it? Just out of curiosity, for those of you that enjoy looking at old reruns like that, what does that evoke in you that you enjoy about that?
Simpler times.
No swearing, no sex.
What was that?
Certain innocence. About
certain innocence.
Values.
Values. Okay. Fun.
The way things should be.
The way things should be. Okay. Well, maybe we can
set some of that out. It's not big, real.
You don't think it's really real?
I mean, it's, yeah. It's, but that's, you know, it's a fantasy and it's kind of nice to escape to.
I just wanted to run through the characters really quick and kind of review how you saw them kind of interacting with Andy and his situation. Andy actually admitted that he would prefer to have a partner in his life. How do you think he's handling that as far as his attitude toward his issue, his trial?
Avoiding it.
You think he was avoiding it? And why do you think he would do that?
Sometimes it's easier to avoid things than it is to pursue them. You know, he's busy, he was keeping busy, his daily thing, and he was, nothing was making him do it, even though it was probably in the back of his mind. It'd be nice.
Okay. Anybody else see his posture different, or?
I think more in terms of just kind of waiting for something to happen rather than trying to make it happen.
Okay.
he thinks Andy should be.
Yeah, okay.
Feel the same way.
Okay, that was my next question, is why do you think he's wanting to move things along? So he's maybe experienced happiness in his own life and wants that for his friend. Any other rationale you can come up with?
But Barney wasn't married either, was he?
No, he never got married.
I didn't think he was, yeah.
No.
So he's not married with Bonnie?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
So that's what I was thinking. If he's not married, then why should he bother with Anthony? If he's not married, take care of your own life in a way. But
yeah.
Yeah, you should act like you're
married. Yeah.
Well, Thelma Louisville was a girlfriend for many years.
I think it had to do with Opie and the situation at the time that Opie was to bring his mother to school.
Right.
And I think that sort of made the difference.
We needed a mother to be there to fix his cup. So.
Right.
I don't remember the series that much. It was, did Opie's mother die? Is that
yes,
story? Right? Isn't that what a lot of people do? Is, you know, after a certain period of time, especially a widower, they're trying to fix him up with a new wife. I mean, that's sort of typical even now.
I think a lot of times too, it's easier to see a solution to somebody else's problem than it is to see your own solution.
He never did marry Tom.
Yeah. How about Aunt B? How does she play into this?
Not much on this one.
I mean, she does the cooking and she would normally take care of his cuts and scrapes, so he didn't need a wife to do those.
Yeah, she usually takes on the motherly role.
Yeah,
she
seemed to be supportive.
She's outside that role right now because she had other commitments, and so that made this more obvious that he needed somebody.
And how about Opie? Do you think Opie wanted a mom?
Didn't seem like it in this session.
Okay, so he was kind of going with the flow, maybe. And how about Thelma Little?
She sure didn't stand up to Barney much.
Well, it's interesting now that you somebody pointed out that they weren't married, because I wonder if she wasn't thinking, well, why are you so concerned about him? What about us?
Us, yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell from this episode that they weren't married.
Mm-hmm. They seem pretty good that way. And how about the ladies?
The ladies didn't seem interested in Andy at all. I don't know what he was flirting with them or anything, so, you know, in a way you could understand Andy's thing by just saying, you know, let me meet somebody that I want to, you know, meet myself, rather than trying to push all these women on. And it was true, because they didn't seem interested in him at all either. Just
maybe they'd given up.
Yeah, just as a town sheriff and a nice guy. But I think if you look at it, I don't know about the rest of you, but the way I found my husband too, I wanted to get married so bad. I thought that I wanted to share my life with someone. And I used to chase after guys like crazy, you know, trying to get to find somebody to marry. And nothing ever worked out. Luckily, I was smart enough to know, you know, the jerks that came along and, you know, stuff like that. And as soon as I gave up my right to the Lord to be married, I said, Lord, if you don't want me to be married, then I'll be happy single the rest of my life. I said, but I'm not going to be looking anymore. I've had it. If I can't find a good Christian man, I said, if you want me to be single the rest of my life, that's what I'll be. And 6 months later, I met my husband, and a year after that, we got married. So as soon as you give up those rights, we have, you know, we always claim we have rights, but we really don't have any rights in our life other than the right to love God. And when you give up your right to do anything in your life, God will bring blessing on you. And that's what happened to me. How many of the women, you know, or even the guys were not really looking when you met your mate? You know?
Sorry, I was looking.
Well, there are exceptions. Oh, yeah. But is it easy to wait for God's time?
No.
And does our society promote patience and waiting?
No.
And what
immediate
kinds of
gratification.
Yeah, okay. What kinds of things do we see? And maybe that's some of, I mean, for those that that maybe we're more younger in the generation that's portrayed, do you see a difference in say, how patient people were 40 years ago as opposed to how they are now? Mm-hmm. What do you think has changed?
They're not getting married as young.
Right.
Yes, they mm-hmm. have careers.
Okay.
Yeah, women are not homebodies anymore.
Okay.
We see it in everything. I mean, you know, if you want something, material things, you get it and buy it with your credit card or get a loan. Or you don't save, you don't, I mean, just about every aspect of our lives is instant. We got food, we got a microwave, we can, you know, everything is quick.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't learn to be patient for anything.
But I think it's different now because, I mean, people aren't kidding, women aren't. I mean, we're not getting married at 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Women want careers, they want to do things. Mm-hmm. I think we are more patient, the girls are more patient. I think of my daughter.
Well, we all just live together.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe in terms of marriage or, you know, finding a partner.
I mean, other things, yeah, instant gratification, but I think finding a partner.
Right. What do we find, so we've talked about instant gratification. Is that why we find it so hard to be patient, do you think? That we just are accustomed to.
We don't practice it.
Is that something that can be practiced?
And in nowadays it doesn't seem to be a virtue. Patience should be a virtue, you know. And it doesn't seem to be a virtue. It's just like,
it's not
we want it now.
It's not taught or preached either.
That's true. It's not taught or preached anymore, right? And we're supposed to just go after it and get it and don't wait around.
So do you think it was easier for people at Mayberry to be patient?
In that time.
Mm-hmm. In that time. That time was a whole other time.
Yeah, but I think even in that time, I mean, I remember the time pretty clearly, it wasn't the way what we grew up with, but you look at Mayberry as a small town, as a very stable community, it's not something that's rapidly changing, and so people have a sense of where they are and where they're going. And when things are continually changing and like the ball keeps rolling faster and faster, and you really don't know where it's going, you become more impatient. You feel like you have to solve this problem now because, you know, tomorrow you might not have it.
Mm-hmm. It could be due to a little bit of just the modernization of our culture, too, because, you know, first you had the horse and buggy, and you had to feed the horse, and you had to hitch the horses up to the buggy, and then somebody invented a car. And then you had to get out and you had to crank the car to get it going, but you didn't have to feed it very much or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, in the 40s, you got the instant start. And you didn't have to crank it or pump it. You had just turn the key. You know, and everything that modern man has been able to invent has gotten easier and easier and easier. So then man has probably taken that and put it also into some other things that aren't good, like instant gratification for marriage and all the other things. We haven't separated them. We haven't learned to keep them separate where they belong. We've kind of lumped them all together, which has hurt our society a lot, too. But, I mean, we shot a man to the moon, you know? I mean, we didn't have to be patient to wait for that. He's just, and the jet travel that we have today, just all things like that. You can think that man invented probably has something to do with it, just our culture. But, yeah, we should be still at those same other virtues of our personalities should be still.
But then you have the Amish and the Mennonites, and I just finished reading a book yesterday.
That's true.
Who still are
right
in those
old days
values, if you want to put it. So, and what does society think about them? We look down at
down
them.
On them, right.
We think that they're sort of funny and silly, and why are they doing it that way?
Backward.
And yet they're following the Bible.
Right.
And that's their teaching, their life.
What about coming away to a place like Holden? Do you think that does anybody feel like they're any more particularly patient here than you are?
It's been hard for me. I got here Friday and it took me 2 days to finally slow down. It's difficult to leave all of the stuff back home and come away. It's wonderful, but
I think too with studying the Word of God, if you study the Word of God and see what He says on patience, and there's a lot of scripture on patience, if you can study it, memorize it, keep it in your mind and think about it when we do get impatient or when we have to have patience to know where we can learn about it and get it from God, then I think that would be an easier thing for us to do too, and not so much in the busy lifestyle. And when you're retired, you get a lot more patience because you have a lot more time.
No, you don't.
I thought I did.
So. I'm busier now than ever.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of scripture, I thought we could look up a couple more of these passages. I wonder if this side of the room could find James chapter 1, about verses 2 to 4, and if this side of the room could find Romans chapter 5. Verses 3 to 5.
James 4.
James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
Want it read?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, so whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
Okay, can you read that over and put the word patience in the place of endurance?
Patience instead of endurance. Okay, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
Okay.
Is patience in a different version? Is that?
Well, there are a couple different versions going around. Does anybody have a different version of that?
My version has patience.
In the James reading? Can you read that?
No, mine says perseverance.
Okay.
Consider it perfect joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Mm-hmm. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. I think that's the same sheet read.
Okay. Okay. And then let's hear the Romans passage.
Patience might be in the, I can't think of the version now. The one that only did the
message.
The New Testament. It was a man's name.
Peterson.
Darn, I can't think what it is, but because I memorized this chapter once and I memorized it out of that. And I think it did have patience in it.
Okay. Somebody over here read Romans?
Put in patience instead of endurance?
Sure.
And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Okay.
Phillips.
So there seems to be a link there. Can you just summarize again what the what's produces what?
Okay. The chain. Suffering produces patience. Patience produces character. Character produces hope.
Okay, so there's like a little building, a little tower being built there. So what does that suggest to you about what we risk becoming as we lose patience? Do you think we end up lacking something?
Character.
I think, was it you that mentioned patience being a practice, something that we need to practice, a skill that we need to work on? I know I face that in my life with my children, because my children are still pretty young, and I'm an older parent, so some of the things in my life have come kind of gone on at a different stage, and my kids are 4 and 7 right now, and I don't pride on myself on my patience with them very much. And one thing I was really looking forward to in coming here is having some more uninterrupted, unencumbered time with them, and maybe learning, relearning a thing or two about being patient. But I think that as I was preparing for this, I kind of saw that patience in a different light, and I don't know if it strikes any of you, but you know, it's almost like we need to resolve and take a deep breath and just try to practice patience in whatever relationships we have. It doesn't necessarily need to be with a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old. And heaven knows we probably all need to be more patient with ourselves, let alone being patient with other people. What benefit comes in patience? And I think patience and waiting are kind of things that go hand in hand. Patience usually suggests that we're having to wait for something. Now, the verse that my friend here just read suggested that there's character and hope that come out of patience. But what other kinds of things do you see coming out of being patient?
Lower blood pressure.
What was that?
Lower blood pressure.
Lower blood pressure. Okay, so there's health benefits of being patient. Okay.
Peace.
To a peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the best places to practice patience is in the grocery store when you're in line at the checkout, or I don't know, in training or whatever, the slowest one. Oh, this is the slowest one that you take. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, you know. And so it's a good time to, you can either get all riled up and your blood pressure goes up, or you can practice being patient and changing your attitude. So it's a good time to do that. There's nothing else to do.
Because as soon as I change lanes, then that becomes.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's just. Okay. Or you put the shortest line and it's got the most problems in it. So the guy who was 10 guys back there is out at the door before you are. Only had 2 in front of you.
Exactly. So instead of just, you know, getting aggravated about it, it's a good time to try patience.
Do you think patience can teach us about obedience to God?
Yes. Patience redirects our paths. You can stop and be patient, and when you're not focused on your end goal and willing to wait, the Lord brings you new direct objectives that you need to understand first before you can reach the thing that you were so concerned about.
I think patience can bring us closer to God.
Well, I think it really fits with the theme of healing. And so I was kind of, you know, going back to this morning session, and I broke my ankle last summer, and you know, that was totally unexpected and put me flat on my back for some number of weeks, and that teaches you patience in a new way and loss of control, I guess, you know, and to become accepting of help from others and, you know, and being patient, knowing that the healing, you expect the healing to happen. You know, it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and that expectation is the faith, right? The trust that is, that whether it's your ankle will heal or God will act in some way in our lives. Yeah. Well, I was told that I had to strictly adhere to the schedule. But thank you all for coming. I'm sorry the film kind of blipped out on us a little bit. I hope that wasn't too irritating. But thanks for sharing some clarity in your thoughts. And God bless you and your patience.
Let's get out here.
The faster the better, is there?
And I think only a lot of work, you know, you get a little time to watch TV, you know, like with your hiker.
Yes, you did.
You know, all those oldies.
Lucy is an exact doesn't.
Oh,
well, yeah, maybe it's like that's a year or so.
But at least, you know, the language is definitely.
I'm the old one.